Imagine, you have built the perfect business. It runs entirely without you.
Right.
It generates millions in revenue.
Mm.
It scales flawlessly across multiple time zones. You know, you really should be sleeping like a baby.
Yeah, you should be on a beach somewhere.
Exactly. But instead, you are just terrified. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a stack of leaked internal strategic documents to really understand this, frankly, counterintuitive anxiety of the top 1% of businesses.
And not just their anxiety, but how they actually plan to dominate the future.
Right. Because today's mission is a bit different. We are digging into the internal playbook of a company called Playbook Ops.
Yeah, they specialize in architecting systems for elite businesses.
Mm.
And we've got our hands on their internal readiness frameworks, their psychological profiling of these top CEOs, and, well, their entire overarching messaging strategy.
Which is fascinating to see laid out. They use this business operating system diagnostic engine that places companies on a five-level scale of AI operations readiness.
But we aren't looking at the bottom of that scale today. We are focusing strictly on the rarest, most elite tier. They call it level five, or the AI leveraged organization.
And these documents, I mean, they aren't just dry technical manuals. They reveal the complete psychological and operational reality of these market leaders.
Oh, absolutely. It's incredibly revealing.
Even just looking at the brand visual identity assets for Playbook Ops,
mm-hmm.
you get a sense of what they're communicating to this elite tier. Like their logo.
Right, the logo is super deliberate.
It really is. It's a sleek play button, but it isn't solid at all. It's made up of these interconnected nodes.
Yeah.
And the colors, they start in this bright cyan and ascend into deep, vibrant greens, all set against a stark, pitch black background.
It visually communicates this idea of, you know, pressing play on a highly connected systematic progression, which is the perfect representation of a level five organization.
Because before we can really understand their strategy, we have to grasp their baseline operational reality, right?
Exactly. These are companies that score between 85 and 100 on the Playbook Ops internal diagnostic. Most SMBs, like most normal small and medium businesses, they never even glimpse this level.
Not even close.
Right. For a level five company, their core identity is that they already think in systems.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I hear this phrase, thinking in systems, thrown around a lot in business literature, and I'm naturally a bit skeptical.
Fair enough. It's become a bit of a buzzword.
It really has. I mean, I've met a lot of successful founders, and even the ones with the great teams are still, you know, sweating the details. They're jumping into Slack at 10 p.m. to fix problems.
Oh, yeah. The typical founder chaos.
Right. So is this level five reality of low founder dependency just some theoretical utopia, or did the documents explain how this actually works in practice?
They absolutely explain the mechanism, and it's important to note it is not a utopia. It's a structural reality for these guys.
How so?
Well, think about a typical business. Knowledge usually lives in people's heads, right? Mm-hmm. If your head of marketing leaves, the whole marketing department panics.
Because the institutional knowledge just walked out the door.
Exactly. But in a level five organization, they have completely operationalized their knowledge. Documentation isn't some dusty PDF in a Google Drive that nobody ever reads.
Oh, man, we've all seen those PDFs.
Right. Everyone has them. But here, the documentation is fundamentally embedded into the daily workflow.
Wait, embedded how?
Like, the actual software they use literally will not allow an employee to proceed to step three of a process until step two is completed, documented, and verified by an API.
Wow. So the system physically enforces the standard.
Yes. So it's not that the founder magically vanishes or that mistakes never, ever happen.
It's that the system catches the mistake before it ever requires a human manager to step in.
Precisely. The operational visibility is so exceptionally high at this level. Leadership can literally see the exact health of the business across every department on a single dashboard.
So because the teams execute independently based on these embedded systems, the founder is just completely removed from that day-to-day execution layer.
They live purely in the strategic layer.
Okay, so I get the appeal of the self-driving car analogy that people use for businesses like this. But I don't know, I still don't totally buy that a founder at this level is entirely hands-off.
Well, they aren't hands off the strategy.
Right. Aren't they still panicking over the destination? If the car is already driving perfectly on its own, what do they actually need from an external partner?
That's the core question.
Like, why are they taking a meeting with an AI operations architect like Playbook Ops in the first place?
What's fascinating here is that because they have already scaled through process and structure, AI isn't just a neat trick for them.
It's not just a ChatGPT prompt to write faster emails.
Exactly. For them, AI becomes a massive force multiplier for the systems they've already built.
Oh, I see.
Think about network effects. It's less about, you know, strapping a bigger engine onto that self-driving car to make it go a little faster.
Okay.
It's more about connecting that car to a citywide traffic grid so it never ever hits a red light again.
Wow. Okay. That's a huge distinction.
Playbook Ops isn't there to teach them how to build a basic engine. They're there to plug advanced AI into a flawless system to multiply the output exponentially.
Which naturally brings us right back to that massive contradiction we started the deep dive with.
The anxiety.
Yes, the anxiety. If their operational systems are this incredibly dialed in, why does the psychological profiling in these sources highlight so much stress?
It seems backwards.
It really does. You would assume that arriving at level 5 feels like crossing the ultimate finish line. You've won the game.
But it's actually a whole new starting line. And honestly, a much more terrifying one.
Why?
Well, the emotional profile that Playbook Ops has mapped out for a level 5 leader is this really potent mix. It's extreme confidence, high ambition, and deep strategic excitement.
Because they know they're elite.
Right. They are not worried about basic employee onboarding. They aren't putting out daily fires. But they have this one massive underlying fear that basically dictates all of their behavior at this stage.
And the internal documents state it plainly, right?
Right.
Yes. The quote is stark. If we stop evolving, someone else compounds faster.
Wait, so even at the absolute top of the mountain, there's this intense anxiety about someone compounding.
Yes.
It sounds exactly like the Red Queen effect from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
You know, where you have to run as fast as you can just to stay in the exact same place.
That is exactly their reality.
So if I'm a founder at this level, how do I actually win this race?
Yeah.
If I finally built a machine that runs perfectly, but the technological landscape is shifting so radically with AI.
Let's actually apply the math of compounding to understand why they are so stressed out about this.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you have a chaotic level 2 business, right? And you use some AI tools to get 1% better every day.
Sure.
You just end up with a slightly less chaotic business in a year.
Right. You're still disorganized, just slightly faster at it.
Exactly. But if a level 5 business, which already runs flawlessly, uses AI to optimize their integrated systems by 1% every single day.
The compounding effect is astronomical.
It is. Within 12 months, they aren't just slightly better, they have achieved absolute market dominance.
So level 5 founder is terrified because they know their closest competitor is doing the exact same math.
Bingo. They are terrified of being outpaced by another highly systematized competitor who just figures out how to use AI a little bit better.
So it's really not about surviving anymore for them. It's about conquering.
Yes. They don't want relief from their business. They already have relief. They want a mathematical guarantee that no one can ever catch up to them.
They want absolute dominance.
And because level 5 organizations have this specific high-level fear of being outcompounded, Playbook Ops has to completely change how they speak to them.
Right. A standard software sales pitch is just going to fall totally flat here.
It would be insulting to them, honestly.
Yeah.
The sources show this huge disconnect between what these companies think they need when they first walk in and what they actually need to achieve that dominance.
Yeah. The documents note that level 5 founders usually come to the table thinking they just need, like, AI co-pilots, or maybe some basic automation scaling.
They're thinking, oh, my competitor got a shiny new AI tool, so I need to go buy one too.
They're still sort of shopping for features.
Exactly. But Playbook Ops knows that just buying tools won't give them a competitive moat. Anyone can buy a tool.
So what do they actually need, according to the playbook?
They need a concept Playbook Ops calls AI-enabled competitive compounding.
Okay, that sounds intense.
It is. The core strategic reframe that they use to pivot the entire conversation is this exact sentence from the documents. The winners of the next decade will operationalize AI faster than competitors.
Oh, wow.
See the shift. It's not about who possesses the software. It's entirely about who weaves it into their operational DNA the fastest.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because Playbook Ops doesn't just hand the CEO a brochure with that quote on it.
No, definitely not.
They use this internal mechanism called the AI Operations Expansion Roadmap. And the instructions for delivering this document are incredibly strict in the sources.
Very strict. It cannot be generic AI advice.
Right. It cannot be some canned one-size-fits-all PDF. It has to be a highly personalized, diagnostic-driven executive briefing.
And they actually call it a business operating system diagnostic engine.
I love that terminology.
It's brilliant because they aren't selling software at all. They are basically selling a medical-grade MRI for a company's entire operational architecture.
Let's actually walk through how this MRI works, because the roadmap is divided into very specific sections based on the company's assessment scores.
Right.
Section 1 just establishes the current state, but Section 2 is where they introduce what they call hidden growth risks.
Yeah, the hidden risks.
Now, I have to question the strategy here. The documents say you show them things like gaps in cross-functional alignment and AI coordination maturity. Honestly, if I'm a CEO who just scored an A+, like a 90 out of 100 on an operational assessment, and some external consultant immediately starts telling me my machine is broken,
you'd get defensive.
I'm getting super defensive. Doesn't that risk alienating the exact elite client they want to attract?
It absolutely would alienate them if you framed it as a basic failure. But Playbook Ops doesn't do that. They frame it as a scaling threshold.
Okay, explain that. Let's ELI5, that term you just used, AI coordination maturity.
Sure. Imagine a level 5 company where the sales department uses a highly advanced AI agent to close complex deals.
Okay.
And then the fulfillment department uses a separate, highly advanced AI to manage the supply chain. Both are brilliant individually.
Sounds great so far.
But if the sales AI starts aggressively discounting custom orders just to hit its quarterly quota.
Oh, I see where this is going.
And the fulfillment AI doesn't have the coordination maturity to understand how to build those heavily discounted custom orders profitably.
The whole system breaks down at scale.
Exactly. That is a hidden growth risk. You aren't telling the CEO that they are incompetent. You are pointing out the invisible friction in a high-performance engine that they couldn't see.
So you are diagnosing the friction between the nodes.
Yes.
That actually connects perfectly back to their logo. It's not just about having the bright green nodes. It's about how those nodes connect to each other.
That's a great catch. Yes.
And to make absolutely sure the CEO doesn't get defensive about this friction, there's a very deliberate psychological safety net built into this roadmap.
The best part of the whole strategy.
Section 5 is entirely dedicated to benchmarking.
The benchmarking is the absolute masterstroke of the entire diagnostic engine.
Why is it so powerful?
Because before or right after you show them the friction in their system, you show them the hard data.
Okay.
Telling a level 5 leader, look, your organization scored higher than 95% of all SMB operational environments. That is massive psychological validation.
It totally strokes their ego.
It strokes their ego, yes. But more importantly, it reinforces their executive identity. Crucially, it positions Playbook Ops not as a vendor trying to teach them the basics.
But as a peer.
Exactly. A peer who recognizes their elite status and has the quantitative data to prove it.
It completely changes the power dynamic in the room. It's the difference between a shoe salesman telling an Olympic sprinter to buy new cleats.
Right.
Versus having a biomechanics lab analyze their stride to shave off milliseconds. Playbook Ops is positioning itself as the biomechanics lab.
That is exactly what they're doing.
And once they've established that peer-to-peer dynamic, Section 3 of the roadmap maps out the next operational phase.
Yes, it tells them exactly what to build next to stay ahead of that compounding competition.
Which they call the operational intelligence layer.
Right. And you might ask, why go to the trouble of literally handing them the blueprint for this operational intelligence layer for free?
Yeah, why give away the secret sauce?
Because telling an elite founder exactly what to build is the only way to prove you actually understand how to build it at their level.
Oh, that makes sense.
By diagnosing the system and providing that architectural blueprint, you create this massive gap in their mind between their current reality and the asymmetric advantage they desperately want.
Let's talk about that term, asymmetric advantage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, looking at data and actually getting a busy CEO to write a massive check are two very different things.
Very different.
How does Playbook Ops actually architect this conversion? Like, if my inbox as a level 5 founder is already flooded with generic B2B SaaS demos promising to revolutionize my workflow.
Which it is.
How does Playbook Ops actually get me on the phone without sounding like everyone else?
They cut through the noise through rigorous, absolute discipline in their messaging strategy.
What are the rules?
The first rule is avoiding anything that sounds like a beginner's onboarding. You absolutely cannot talk to a level 5 founder about how to document standard operating procedures.
Because they solved that problem 3 years ago.
Exactly. You also have to strip away any founder chaos positioning.
Like what?
Like if you send an email asking them, "Are you tired of constantly putting out daily fires in your business?"
They will just delete it.
They will delete it instantly because they don't have daily fires. You look completely out of touch with their reality.
It's almost like you have to speak a completely different dialect of business language.
You really do. They strictly avoid all fear-based messaging about failure or going out of business.
Because they aren't going out of business.
Right. Instead, they focus entirely on the fear of missed leverage. The transformation the level five leader wants isn't about saving time. It is entirely about creating a competitive moat so deep and so wide that no competitor can ever cross it.
So to get them on the phone to discuss that moat, the calls to action, the actual invitations to engage,
Yeah.
they have to feel appropriately elite.
Highly elite. You do not invite a level five founder to a free demo or a basic discovery call.
Right. The sources show the exact phrasing they use.
Yeah.
And it's so specific. You invite them to an AI operations accelerator strategy session.
Or a strategic AI workflow architecture review.
Wow. Just look at the weight of those words.
Accelerator.
Strategy, architecture, review.
Exactly. These offers feel enterprise mature. They feel like a peer-to-peer collaboration focused purely on future state leverage.
It's the difference between saying, "Hey, let me fix your plumbing," and saying, "Let me architect your estate."
Yes. One is a chore you outsource to a cheap vendor. The other is a legacy you build with a strategic partner.
And the ultimate objective of that architecture review is to make the leader realize that the next competitive moat isn't just having AI tools.
Anybody can buy a subscription to an AI tool.
Exactly. The true moat is having AI-enabled operational intelligence.
And that is really the universal lesson hidden in these internal documents.
Yeah.
A moat used to be geographical dominance or maybe access to massive capital. But in the coming decade, a moat is simply the speed at which you can operationalize artificial intelligence across your entire business system.
Playbook ops recognized that they weren't selling a simple transition from paper to software.
No, for this elite tier, they are selling the transition from operational dependency to pure operational intelligence.
We've covered a ton of ground today exploring the absolute pinnacle of this framework. We've really looked at the reality of the level five AI-leveraged organization.
Where founder dependency is incredibly low, systems are flawlessly integrated, and knowledge is just operationalized directly into the workflow.
And we've uncovered their hidden anxiety, that intense compounding fear of the Red Queen effect, where they are terrified a competitor is going to operationalize AI just a fraction faster than they do.
We also dissected how Playbook Ops utilizes that diagnostic engine to validate their elite status, reveal those hidden growth risks.
And position themselves as the strategic architect of an asymmetric
Yes.
advantage. So even for you listening, whether your own team is currently bogged down in daily firefighting or you're already running a highly systematized operation, the insight from the top of the mountain is clear.
They're very clear.
True market dominance does not come from just swiping your credit card for the latest generative AI tool.
Right.
It comes from embedding that intelligence into your operational DNA so deeply that your advantage compounds daily.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, building on the psychological reality we've explored today.
Let's hear it.
Imagine your business systems were entirely visible, fully documented, and running completely independently tomorrow morning.
Okay.
If you plugged advanced autonomous AI into that flawless system right now, would it multiply your strategic brilliance and create an insurmountable competitive moat?
Or.
Or would it simply expose that your ultimate destination was never clearly defined in the first place?